house of God. Can you say amen? I want to minister something. You know, the last time I was had the opportunity to preach, and I thank God for every opportunity that I have to actually minister his word. Right at the very end of that message, I got this impression to the next time, on the next time that I would preach, and this is that time, is to actually begin to minister on the love of God. Now, one of the things that I don't count myself anything, but I do have a thought, is that there's two things that I don't think is preached on enough in the Church of Jesus Christ, and that is, one, the love of God, and two, the end times. Those are the two things. I know we have the body of Scripture, the full counsel of Scripture, as Paul tells us that we should minister on, but sometimes I think we miss out, lack on that issue, on those two, the love of God and the end times. One, I think that we miss out on the love of God one because we don't want to seem like that we're greasy grace Christians. Can we talk about it? Where God's going to love us, we could do whatever we want to do. But we know that that's not the Bible. Can you say amen? The second one is that I don't believe that the end times is preached on a lot is because people don't actually really do a good study on it to begin to understand what is God saying about the end times. So I'm not going to preach on the end times. But today, I want you to give me your attention, give God your attention, as we go over in the Bible and we talk about the amazing love of God for you and for me. Can you say amen? Why don't you bow your heads as we go before God in prayer? God, we so thank you, God, for your goodness, your loving kindness, and your mercy. And I, Father, as I stand here, don't even necessarily feel that I'm qualified to present your word and to even minister on the love of God. But I pray that, God, as I open my mouth and as I speak my notes, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would move in every heart and every mind, that you would open us up to your love of God, and that you would give us a revelation of your love for us as individuals. And I ask this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry for that. I'm bouncing on the thing. The love of God. Can you say amen? There's some quotes I have. You know, when I had to go to a funeral recently, so I'm back. I'm talking to my sister, and I'm asking her how she's doing. She's the youngest of us, and I'm asking her how she's doing. And she said, Mark, you know, I went to my job, and my job gave me some cards, and they gave me $200. And she said, I was so amazed at that. And listen to what she says. This is amazing. And this, I didn't even tell her what I was preaching on. She said, at that instant, I felt that I was loved. Can you say amen? That I was loved and cared for. And she said, everybody wants to be loved. I want to be loved. Do you? And so I told her, I said, Lita, I can't believe that you said that, because that's exactly what I was doing a study on when she called me last night. The love of God. One person said, everyone wants to be loved. And this is not my sister. Everyone wants to be loved and to know that they are truly loved as a person and for who they are. Am I lying? Am I? No. Love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at his destination full of hope. So that was Angela, Maya Angelou. Everyone wants to be loved, to know they are loved, and to be part of a relationship that is founded upon love. Right? One of the things that I'm noticing, and I noticed it in my life, so I'm guilty of the same thing, is that I come to church, I raise my hands, and I sing praise to God, the God of all the earth, right? But sometimes I lack that true understanding that God loves me. Sometimes we can labor. Are you with me? labor like crazy. We're trying to do everything we can do to support the church, to support everybody else, and all the ministries that go on. But we miss the very point of all of salvation, and that is that God loves us. How many remember the verse in Revelations where Jesus is speaking to the church, and he says, you have left your first love? Remember that in the book? He's speaking to the churches. He says, you have left your first love. I have this against you because you have left your first love. He says, repent and do the works that you did before, or I'm going to come down and remove your candlestick. I thought about that. Now, remember, when he went through all of that, he was talking about all the wonderful things the church was doing. They were laboring. They were standing up against false doctrine. They were outreaching. They were street preaching. They were passing out flyers. They're doing all these things for God, but they missed something. They missed something, and that is they forgot love. They forgot love. In all of our ministering, sometimes we forget that what are we doing this ministering for? Who are we doing it for? And does that person that we're doing it for, does he really love us? Can you say amen? How many women want to hear their husband say, I love you? Come on. I know my wife does. But you know what? I want to hear her say it to me also, because I need to know that she loves me just as much as I love her. Everybody with me? So now let's open our Bibles, because I have to move quickly. I don't want to take up a lot of time. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. We're going to read down through verse 21. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 13, and we're going to move down to verse 21. Are you guys ready? Okay, take your time. I want you to read it with me. Is that you saying, go on, Valerie? Okay, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Here we go. It says, wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that the world that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Did you hear that? In that one verse, he said, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without men. Is it without end? I'm sorry. I was like, that was a little fun. Get rid of all the men. That's not what we need. Isn't that amazing? He says that ye may be filled. The love of God, as Paul gives it to us in the scripture, is the fullness of what God is. That of all the things that he is, first, he is a God of love. 2 Corinthians says, the God of love. That's what God is first. And if we can get anything into our minds, God wants us to know that he has a great and exceeding love for each and every person in this room. That he has a great and exceeding, not just, it's not just this weak thing that, you know, well, I love you. We say sometimes to people in the church, I love you. And I sometimes wonder, do we really mean what we're saying? Can you say amen? But when God says it, when God says in his word, when he says, I love you, he really means it. Can you say amen? The Bible tells us in John, everybody knows this, John chapter 3. For what? God so what? He what? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. He said God showed his love for to us and toward us. He proved it by sending his son, that while we were yet sinners, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He proved his love to us and showed us his love, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us to give us forgiveness of our sins, to make a way. Are you with me? The exceeding great love of God. If we're honest with ourselves, I'm going to be honest with myself today. Sometimes I don't even think that God likes me sometimes. Have you ever felt that before? Am I the only one here? I'm going to raise my hand because I felt this. Sometimes I walk through life and I feel, you know, I wonder if God just puts up with me. Right? I come to church, you know, I'm trying to do what's right. Sometimes I stumble and I fall. Sometimes I just wonder, you know, I say, does God put up with me? At those times, I go to the book of Psalms. Because in the book of Psalms, it talks about God's everlasting love. This love that doesn't stop, right? Paul talks to us about this love. He describes it. He says, I want you to be able to comprehend with your mind. He says, I want you to be able to grasp. I want you to get this word, comprehend. It's not just understand. It's grasp hold of it, to lay hold of it, and to keep it close to you. I want you to comprehend, right, the fullness of the love of God, its height, its depth, right? When we say death, we talk about the depth. You know what we're dealing with, the death? We're talking about the deepness of God's love. It's deepness. So we're talking about the height, how much he loves us. It's deepness. We're talking about his breath from on the left side. You know what? If we make a big picture, God is trying to tell us that there is a love that he has for us that he wants us to see, he wants us to understand, and he wants us to grasp, and he wants us to keep, and he wants us to meditate on it. He wants us to think about it. He wants us to talk about it, his great love. Thank you. Do you really believe that God loves us? In 1 John 3:16, it says, hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. That is, everything that God or Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us, he did it for one reason, and that is because he loves us. Some people may say, well, no, God loves me because I live clean. That's not why God loves you. It's good to live clean. No, God loves me because I read his word. Great. It's good that we read his word, but that's not why he loves us. Some people say, well, God loves me because I come to church and I praise his name. That's good. We need to praise him. God loves me because of the work that I do, right, in the church, or the support that I do. That is not why God loves you. Did you hear what I said? It can't be, because the Bible said while we were yet sinners, Christ proved his love to us in that he died on the cross. You know, everything that God does to us and for us is according to his will and his purpose. Did you hear what I just said? And you can read through Ephesians. It's according to his will and his purpose, and as he has purpose from the foundation of the world, he did it. Right? Christ, the Bible says, is the righteousness of God. Do you know what that's saying? He says that there's no other righteousness that can satisfy God but Christ. And that if we don't go through Christ for that righteousness, we're not going to make it to heaven. Did you hear what I just said? Christ is the righteousness of God. He is the full love of God in person. Physically, well, who was walking on the earth, and he is still that way now, and as he stands on the right hand of God, he is still the same person. Without him, we have no love. Philip says, show us the Father, Jesus. Remember that verse? Show us the Father. What did Jesus say to him? He says, Philip, If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Did you hear what I just said? If you have seen me, not me. Okay, I don't want you guys to think I'm preaching false doctrine. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have already seen the Father. What was Jesus doing when he was on the earth? I'm asking a question now. What was he doing? What else was he doing? Preaching. What else was he doing? What? He was healing sicknesses. When John sent to Jesus and said, Jesus, are you the one that we came to see? Watch what Jesus says. He said, go back and tell John. He said, the lame walk, the blind see, the sick are healed, the dead are raised, and people have the gospel, which is the good news, preached unto them. If anything Jesus wants us to get, that is what he is to us. Are you with me? God is a lot of things. But you know what? He is love first. He is good first. That's why the Bible, when you look at the book of Psalms, God is always God is making it a purpose to emphasize his loving kindness, the greatness of his mercies, the greatness of his long suffering. Read it. David knows. David is the one who coined it. And Solomon, they're the ones who put all of this in print for us to understand the greatness of who God is and that he loves us with a love that we cannot even comprehend. Can you say amen? So we wake up every morning. You know what? We may not have or think we have it, the love of God. And we may think that God is just a person who puts up with us. That's okay. All right, I'm just going to answer your prayer because, you know, he's not saying God knows what. He's probably saying, I don't know. Jesus knows. I don't know what he's saying because they're all one. Can you say amen? What does this mean for us? That it is Paul's desire in the book of Ephesians that we understand who God is and his great love for us. In Psalms chapter 36, verse 7, the Bible says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. How excellent is thy loving kindness. In Psalms 51, starting in verse 1, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Loving kindness. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Bible says, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Isn't that amazing? That here the Bible is telling us that God himself has loved us with an everlasting love. In the love of God, the Bible tells us that we have acceptance in God. Isn't that good? That we have acceptance in God. What is that talking about? In God's love, that as we walk in God's love, as we, you know what we should ask God? And I'm being very honest. When we pray, we should ask God, God, help me to experience your love. Not an emotion. You know, don't make me fall out. But to really experience and to know your love. I ask him that. I say, God, help me to know and to see that you really do love me. That they're not just empty words, right? Because we get that all the time. Not just empty words. And in that, show me that you have accepted me. Listen to this in Ephesians. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Paul is writing this in Ephesians. He said, to the praise of his glory and grace, that in him, Christ Jesus, God has accepted us. I want you to look at this word. Are you ready? Who said that? You guys are good. Are you ready? The word means to be highly favored. It means to pursue with grace. It means to encompass someone with favor. It means to honor with blessing. It means to find favor, that is, finding favor in the greater to the lower. That means the king. This word is used in the Old Testament to describe a king's ability to grant someone favor. For whatever reason, the king is willing to give favor to somebody. And you know, if the king is willing to give you favor, you're going to be blessed. Are you with me? It's the same word. Homer uses it to express not only the mood or emotion of being favored, but to express the deeds and the action of the one that is giving the favor. Do you know that God, in his love, wants us to be blessed with his favor? Are you with me? I don't know. I've never. The only way I can look at it is and relate it to is you can have to go to the Old Testament. Is when who was it? Who was her name? Who was it? I can't remember. Who was that king? I can't remember. The queen, who? No, wait. Esther. Thank you so much. Thank you, John.
That's why you're there.
Esther. When she told Mordecai, she said, hey, I'm going to go into the queen, to the king, and, you know, I know I shouldn't be going because he hasn't called me, but I'm going to take the risk. So if you walk in without the king's invitation, you die. So she goes up, and she begins to walk to it, and the Bible says the king held out the scepter to her and said, come on in, Esther. That's the kind of favor. Right? And he says, whatever you want, let me know and I'll give it to you. Tell me what your desire is because you're here for a reason. And she begins to explain all that she wants and so forth, and she gets it. That is what I'm looking at when I say the favor of God. You know, sometimes because we live on the earth, we don't see God, right? Sometimes we can't relate to him because we really don't see him, right? But every time we sit in prayer and begin to ask God for something, God is in heaven holding out the scepter. Did you hear what I just said? He's holding it out to each and every one of us. Let me know what your request is because I have accepted you in Christ Jesus and I want to grant you favor and blessing and goodness. Are you with me? But so many times we walk around, we look at other people, well, how come they're so blessed? Come on. Right? How come they're so blessed and, you know, and I don't have anything? Well, it could be because we're not reaching out to touch God's scepter. He holds it out to us every time we pray. God, help me to reach out and touch that scepter so that I can let my requests be known to you. God, I need your favor. God, I need your healing. God, I need your grace. I need your goodness. God, today I'm feeling sad. I don't even know why. Give me your joy. Are you with me? God, I don't even know you. I want to know you, just like Moses. He says, God, hey, if you don't go with us, then don't go, take me with you. But I want you, God, to show me who you are in your character. That's Moses who did all those wonderful works. He still reaches out to God. I don't know who you are. Show me your nature. Show me your personality. Show me that you really do care. And God said, I will hold out that scepter to you, and I will show you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, right? Full of forgiveness and loving kindness. This is what God wants us to know tonight, that we are, not only are we loved, but we are favored in his eyes. We are favored. Favored. I know my kids always used to go back and forth with me and say, you favor so-and-so. How many know I'm talking about when kids get older? You favor so-and-so over me. I was like, I love you both. But you do more for so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. That's what my kids did, both of them, the girl and the boy. How many of you know, parents know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. But God doesn't do it. God is not partial with his children. The same thing he'll give to me, he'll give to you. The same thing he'll do for me, he'll do for you. Are you with me? The same goodness that he wants to give to others, he wants to give to you. I've said, you know what, God, I want some of that goodness too. I want to be joyful. I want that happiness. I want to know that you love me. Can you show me your love? And the Bible says he will give us that in his favor. Can you say amen? I'm going to close. This was a short message. I made sure it was under 30 minutes. But do you understand what I'm talking about? That's why, if you got to understand what I'm saying, otherwise I'm going to have to repeat it all over again. Do you understand it? Okay, praise God. In Psalms 36:7, the Bible says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. In Psalms 40, chapter 11, verse 11, it says, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continue to preserve me. In Psalm 63, verse 3, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. I want that kind of knowledge. I want to know that when I sit down in prayer, that I'm not sitting down to a God who's impersonal, who doesn't care about what I'm about to say, but who wants me to know that he loves me, and I can present all of my care, all of my concern, all of my desire to him and say, God, I need you today. Can you say amen? In Psalm 69, verse 16, it says, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. In Psalms 103, starting in verse 4, remember, he starts that whole chapter out. Remember the Lord, his mercies. Watch what he's saying. He says, watch, as he's going through the list, he says, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. David is saying he does that to every one of his children. He crowns us with his loving kindness. Can you say amen? In Psalms 143, verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. God's good. And that's why we serve him. Some people serve God out of fear, that every time they do something wrong, then God is ready to pounce on them. That's not the God that I serve. Are you with me? But he is a God of grace, that every time we cry out to him, I used to think one time that every time I cried out to God, I was like, God, you're probably tired of hearing me. But he's not, because in Peter it says, cast thy burdens. Go before him. Cast thy burdens upon him, for he cares for you. Can you say amen? Why don't we bow our heads? Amen. God is a merciful God. You may be here today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come in your life. You've never received him as your Lord and Savior. You've never said, God, I'm a sinner and I need your mercies and I need your forgiveness. Or maybe you're here today and you don't have the love of God. You may be absent of all types of love. You're not even sure if you're liked. Can you say amen? You're here today, and that's you. I'm going to tell you something. Just as we read this scripture, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he so loved the world, every individual in it, every race, every culture, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should have everlasting life. God loves you. You're here. You're not saved. You may have emptiness in your heart, emptiness in your soul, loneliness, but there's a God in heaven who cares for us, and you want to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to show me that love. If you're here, I want you to raise your hands all over this place. You're not saved. I see that one. You're not saved. You're not living for God, and you want to get saved. You want to know God's goodness. You want to know his love. You want to know of his forgiveness. Okay, amen. You may want to, Anton, pray with your daughter because she raised her hand. Amen. So I'm now going to move this and talk to us as people of God. The message is there. The message is clear. The scripture is there for us to read over and over again, that the love of God is real and the love of God is toward us, and that in that love he accepts us and he wants to help us. Can you say amen? He wants to bless us. One more time, if you're not saved, I want you to raise your hand. You don't know the love of God. You feel God moving on you right now, and you want to get saved. You want to say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Raise your hand and put it right back down. Amen. These altars are open for everyone else. Let God minister to you and help you. Amen.